they can hear that call. Ministering to us. Hallelujah. As always, the Bible says to give than to receive. So it might look like you trying to take from us, but actually you are giving to us. Mm. Let's put our hands together. We're going to be going into a very crucial session, aspect of the service this morning. But before we go into that, a number of announcements, please. We are working on our next church magazine. So if you have been into that, you've been into publishing, you've worked, you know, in the media side of things in the past, or you're still doing, again, we need your expertise. You want to support that, please, after the service, see Sister Fatike. Is she here? Where's Sister Fatike? Okay, she's not on scene. Sister Fatike, or just walk up to me after the service and have conversation around that with me. Praise God. Also, if you know an estate agent within our community, please, again, after the service, please see me. We're looking for accommodation for one of the families in the church. So I don't want to assume you don't know an estate agent. If you know someone, please walk up to me after the service and then, you know, let me know so that we can contact the person. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, and then the third bit of our early morning, we started 3 weeks ago. So we had the first one, the second one. So the third one is happening tomorrow morning with Pastor Tomi Durojayi. It's been with us before, actually twice or so. And this is going to be his third time, you know, coming around to bless us. So please join us tomorrow at 6 a.m. It's just 1 hour. You know, join us on your way to work, wherever you may be at the time. Please join. Hallelujah. Amen. And as you join, the Lord will answer your prayers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, ask your neighbor, are you ready?
Are you ready?
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So this morning, I'm not going to be the preacher. Hallelujah. Sometimes I also want to sit down, you know, and be blessed. Hallelujah. And of course, we have anointed people in the house who can get the job done. Amen. Who can get the job done. Whether they are young, they are, you know, old, you know, they have middle age, we have them, you know, just name it. Praise the Lord. We saw Pastor G last week Sunday, you know, rounding up the service. Hallelujah. He quickly packaged himself, prepared himself, and then he delivered something. Hallelujah. So we have it in there. Somebody say we have them. We have them in the house. The other day we had, you know, an epidemic. You know, who spoke to us for like 15 minutes or thereabouts, and she thoroughly blessed us. Amen. So having said that, this morning we're going to be blessed by one of our ministers, someone I have known for a greater part of my life living in the UK. I remember the first time he walked up to me. I can't remember which year now, but many years ago, he walked up to me. In the church I was serving at the time, praise the Lord. And then when we started Praise City, I remember our very first service. You were not there, sir, but I remember our first service in 2010. You know, he showed up and I'm like, hey, what are you looking for here? You should be in your church. You know, he said, you know, Pastor, I'm here to support this work that you are doing, and it's going to be a long haul. And I say, okay, you are welcome. Praise the Lord. And ever since, you know, it's really, really been great. Good relationship with him on the walk and off the walk. Praise the Lord. Because it's not every time we talk spiritual, you know, we also talk about other things you know, as well, you know, but good relationship, and we thank God for that. A man of integrity, and integrity means you mean what you say what you mean. Praise the Lord. If he says good morning to you, you don't have to go open your window to really check. Is it really morning? It's good morning, it's good morning. It's afternoon. It's evening, hallelujah. And it's been very consistently consistent, hallelujah. Glory be to God. And for me, let me also quickly say this. One of the ways I you know, bring people up and so on and so forth is I check your record. I check what you are doing and so on and so forth, and I seek consistency. Because another meaning of integrity actually is consistency. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope the man is not embarrassed by some of the things I'm saying about him already, but I know he can handle it. You know, he's very humble, you know. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I think Sister Fumi is trying to work out who is this person, trying to figure it out. Glory be to God. So on this occasion, please let's put our hands together as I welcome Pastor Wally Odunwa. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, and thank you so much, Pastor Mrs. I know she doesn't really like me calling her that, but thank you so much. And also for the old church, thank you for this time of fellowship. And I believe that the good God that we have come to meet today will minister to all of us at the point of our need, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please, technical people, can you help me with my voice a bit?
It looks as though I'm the only one that is hearing my voice.
Thank you very much, sir. Hallelujah. I believe God said something to me about this meeting, and I'm going to say it this way he expressed it to me. And the way he expressed it is this. I love you. As simple as that statement is, many Christians are still trying to figure it out. The question on their mind is this. If he says he loves me, why am I where I am? If he says he loves me, where are those victories that he has promised? If he is interested in me at all, how come it looks as though he's very far away? I want to repeat what he said again. I love you. If you do not get that understanding, everything in Christian life becomes difficult. If you do not understand the love nature of God, everything looks like mirage. Because it is the understanding of the love. That's why you came to the kingdom to start with. Much more than how you think he loves you. I'll go back in time and tell you that not only did he love you, his children, he loved the whole world. Even before they ever come to him, he's in love with them. Somebody said, where is that in the Bible? Thank you for asking that question. It's a good place to start. Can we open our Bible to the book of John chapter 3? And read it without your religious mind. Because many times when people are reading the Bible, they put their religious glasses on and they miss the essence of what it's saying.
John chapter 3, verse 16. I will take my time to read. Find it in your Bible so you will not accuse me of changing the wording to fit the message. Because there's no message without God's word. The core of every message is in his word. I will read. John chapter 3 verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved who?
The world.
Did he say, for God so loved Christian? Did he say, for God so loved the Jew?
No, the world.
I want you to put it in mind. For God so loved the world, not the Christian, not the Jew, not some special people. Because we have in our mind, if God loves me, how come? And we will answer those questions if God permits today. But this is the call. Until you know this, even service becomes burdensome. Life becomes uninteresting. Do you know if every man that wants to commit suicide hears this message about the love of God, then start thinking, if God of the end of the earth that makes light day loves me, it means my life must be valuable. Value comes to life when love is expressed. Now it depends on who is expressing that love. It depends on who is expressing that. And the reason God brought me back to this place is this. He said some of my children are questioning. Does he love me? Does he love me? He said, if I can say about the world that don't know me, that don't care whether I exist or not, that even doubt the essence of God, and I declare in my word that I love them, how much more my children?
Whoa.
How much more the ones that have accepted the finished work on the cross. If you want to title the message of today, put it as love, the sure way to victory. And I will repeat this again. If you don't understand the love of God, there's a challenge even to your faith. Is constantly being questioned. Do you know one thing that the devil challenged most? Is to convince you that the ones that sent his only son doesn't love you. If he can convince you of that, then he can take everything away from you. Do you know? Let me put it in plain English. The kind, the measure, all the amount of love God has for you is not dependent on how any man or woman is behaving towards you. Because so many times we measure how much God loves us by how much people appreciate us, how much people say, how much this one, how much. No! The only thing that authorizes it is his word. And if his word make that claim, do you know you can make that claim? In my small years in the Lord, I've been in the Lord for almost 27 years now. I've preached in so many places as in one-on-one street evangelism. The only time that I see major people coming to Christ is when they know God loves them. When you preach the love of God, it attract men. Do you know when you tell somebody that, oh, they are going to hell, they say they already know. What else? But when you tell them they are important enough for God of heaven and earth to love them, do you know it warms their heart? Many people have not seen experience of love. Sometimes at home, it's not there. Sometimes in school, it's not there. Sometimes in so-called relationship that we have with people, sometimes you constantly wonder that, does this person really love me? But when you see this truth, when this truth comes on you, do you know everything starts making sense? The light turns on. And do you know, I want to declare to you today to start even now. To start even now. And direct your mouth to start saying to yourself, God loves me. Can somebody say, God loves me?
God loves me.
Can you say it again?
God loves me.
Can you say it again?
God loves me.
Can you say it again?
God loves me.
Do you know why I said that to you? Do you know we believe what we say with our mouth much more than what other people are saying? The more you say it about yourself, the more the reality of it eats your heart. And when it eats your heart, then you are able to see that everything God is saying in His word is to your own advantage.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
During one of our Bible studies, and thank you, Pastor, for taking us through those lessons. I think it was one of our deacons that was making reference to this scripture. Exodus 34, verse 6. The Bible says, and the Lord passed before him. The him there is Moses. And proclaimed that the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundance in goodness and truth. Do you know if you want to summon those attributes of God, just call him the God of love. Just call him the God of love. Because if God does not love you, how can he be merciful towards you? If his love is not there, how can he be gracious? How can he be long-suffering with people that say something and they mean another one? Do you know how many times you've promised God, God, I will never do that again. And only for you to go back there again. And God said, I understand. Do you know how many times you said, God, it is me and you. I'm making commitment. And you reverse on your commitment the next day. And yet God is still long-suffering. It was that love. Is God that is full of goodness and truth. Sometimes so many people look at themselves and see what God has done for them. And they wonder that, what have I done to merit it? And I tell you, you did not merit it. Maybe I should explain that again. Many of us, we compare those things that we enjoy in God. And we measure it with how much we have done. And we see such a disparity. And we say, God, what did I deserve? No, you did not deserve it. But because of the character of God, He made those things abundant over your life.
Men and brethren, I'm going somewhere today. And sometimes I may step on our religious mind. Based on God's word.
There was something that God was pointing my attention to. He said, if you cross through the Old Testament, reading the Old Testament to the New Testament, you see some attributes of God, attributes of men, performance-based success, performance-based performance-based issues that comes. This was very well, and this very well. This is how someone did this. And sometimes we carry in our mind that same thought into the new. And sometimes that is why the new is better than the old. Why? It contains all the good elements of the old, plus flaws.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It contains all the good elements of the old. And when it now comes to the new, it adds plus plus to it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ was praying. And they recorded part of his prayer life. One of the secret things you will find about God or about men that prays or that are alive, you find it in their prayer. Because when people are praying, they are one-to-one. They are not concerned about every other person that is around. But when they are praying there from the intent of their heart. And I'm going to show you something that when I saw it, it shook me a bit. I was wondering if it has not been in the Bible. Possibly if somebody has preached it without having any scriptural background for it, I would have said possibly this man is not seeing what is happening. And that's the book of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. Thank you so much. And this is Jesus Christ praying. For you to know that Jesus Christ was the one praying, I will read verse 20 to start with. John 17, 20. He said, neither pray for this alone. He was talking about the disciples. I'm not praying for these people alone, but for them also we shall believe through their words. We are talking about discipleship today. Not only them alone, for people that will believe through their words. We are the one that believe through their word. How did Christianity last for this long? Somebody preached, somebody preached, somebody preached. They came to me and preached to me. Yeah, that's how it came. And that's how it's going to progress. Somebody has to preach. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't get tired when they said, come and preach. Maybe peradventure, the other great evangelist, you are going to be the one that will preach to. Somebody said, is it of Riyad Bunkie or Billy Graham? The day they make the altar call, it was the only one that showed up. Not only was the one that showed up, he was so young. The evangelist felt disappointed. He said, with all my preaching, only small boy showed up. Maybe the small boy was just like, let me have pity on him. He's been shouting. Now imagine how many thousands of thousands of thousands that great evangelist has preached on. Who knows? Somebody said, I'm not outspoken. You don't need to be outspoken to preach. If I tell you my first experience of preaching, you'll be shocked. We were in the bus. I was with my younger sister. And I've been hearing it that when you get on the bus, preach. When I started preaching, I started stammering. Do you know one thing? My sister was so embarrassed that she covered her face. She was so embarrassed that she said, who asked you to do this now? Now imagine if I kept quiet that day. What of if I've been embarrassed and said, God, embarrass me. I'm not going to do it again. Do you know what? I did it again. I did it 1,000 more again. Sometimes some people get, some of my schoolmates, when they see me coming to that corner, they go to that corner. Why? They know that I will just start on them. This is the gospel. You may not wake up tomorrow. Where would your life be? And the guy said, why are you scaring me? And I said, I'm not scaring you. It's just the kingdom of God that is suffering violence. If today is your last day, what would you do? The guy said, I don't know. I said, give your life to Christ now. Why? The love of God. Where am I going with all this? He said, not only for them alone. Is praying for those people that will come as a result of them preaching. Praise the Lord. And that is Jesus Christ was praying. I want us to move to verse 23. And I will show you this. He said in verse 23, he said, I in them, thou art in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world will know. Look at that. He said that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Look at this little phrase. If you have a Bible that you can write something on, please write this on. He said, and as love them as thou hast loved me. That is the crucial part. He said, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. On the same equality. He said, the Father loved us just the same way he loved Jesus. I want you to look at that again. He said, thou hast loved them. Who is the them that he's talking about? Us. As you have loved Jesus. Do you know when that revelation hits you? Do you know there's some things that will change in you? Your what goes up. You start wondering that, what else can I do? What if, do you know one thing? Everything Jesus Christ has, the Father. Did Jesus Christ not, did the Father not do it? How much more? He's saying that as he has loved Jesus, so he has loved us. Not because of what we have done. Because how much can we do? How much? How much? Do you know, sometimes I wonder that until you know the finished work of Christ, your labor will always be far short of standard. And we are always falling short of standard. The best of us. Because so many times some people look at some people and say, ah, these are the only people of God. These are the righteous people of God. We know we cannot even measure with them. Do you know what those people are standing on the finished work of Christ? On the finished work of Christ. Without the finished work of Christ, none of us. None of us. God is saying that none of our righteousness can qualify. Paul was the one that is even close in that sense. He said, I'm a Jew of the Jew. He said, I'm born of the Jew. He said, concerning the law, I stand blameless. He said, for the excellency of the name of the law of Christ, I'm counting it as done. I'm saying, no, I don't want that qualification. This qualification is better. And what qualification is it? That everything that Christ has done, I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it. But how can you embrace it if love is not unquestioned? If love, if you don't know the love of God, you will question him. Do you know from generation they've been questioning him? They caught David in adultery. David said, come, you've been looking at me only. He said, I was born in iniquity. He said, that was the way I was born. He said, why are you questioning me? He said, I was born in it. And that's the same way for every one of us. That's our bad situation. We were born in iniquity, in shame, in things. Even now before we did something. Sometimes some people said, I've not done anything wrong. I've not done this one wrong. I've not done this wrong. Do you know what? Jesus Christ even changed the standard. He said, when you have thought about it, you've done it. Brother said, what is that again? We are even talking about doing. He said, when you have thought about it, you've done it. Do you know where I'm going with all this? I'm trying to call our attention to what happened more than 2,000 years ago. What Jesus Christ did for you. When you know and understand what he did for you, do you know your smile will be different? Your courage will be different. How you think will be different. How people are talking to you. You can't talk less. You'll be looking at them as if, how did you? I wish you know. Do you know every preaching that we've been preaching? All this time, we are trying to point your attention to what Jesus Christ has done. No, we are trying. Every blessing that Pastor has been proclaiming on this altar is based on that finished work. Without that finished work, every benefit, everything that we are shouting is just a joke. Because without that, without Jesus Christ paying the full sacrifice, human beings are denied of all the benefits. But when Jesus Christ has done that, he has paid When you know what he has paid, do you know one thing? Your courage will be different.
Why?
Because you don't have to pay it anymore. You don't have to do it anymore. Now you can now stand on it and say, he has done it. Do you know when you know that he has done it, your lifestyle will reflect what he has done. Can I go back into natural elite? Every child is born. Sometimes they don't know the parent they are born into until somebody starts telling them and explaining it to them. They don't know. They don't know how much what they are until you start explaining it to them. Let me give an example. The royal family of this country, their children, when they are born, many of them do not know they are born to royal family. They are just like any other child. Somebody needs to bath them. Somebody needs to dress them. Somebody needs to make sure they walk like every other person. Do you know, at that time, an allocation has been made for them, for royalty. They have the wealth of this land. They have it into their name, yet they don't know it. They have everything. Every of their life has been straightened and they've allocated this. And all of them come by what? By birth. Yet, they can't access it. They have all the access to all the cars in the world, yet they can't ride it. Why? They are children. Do you know in the kingdom also, if you want access to all the things of God, you need to grow. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, grow.
Grow.
Look at your neighbor and say, grow.
Grow.
When you grow, everything that God has made and allocated to you, you start enjoying it. And at the point of enjoying it, there's some things you start seeing more. Do you know when I first gave my life to Christ, the only thing I thought I gained was just going to heaven. That's the only thing I thought I gained. Was just going to heaven. There was something that many of us that came with salvation that we don't even have a clue about. We don't have a clue about it. If we just know that by the sake of being born again, not any other thing, by the sake of being born again, you have access to it. It is yours. By birth, it is yours. Just the same way by throne, it's become some people, just because they were born in a certain family, there's something that they are entitled to. That's the same way. But if you do not know the love of God, if you do not understand that love, you will move away from your station. You will move away from what He's asking you to do. Everything God is asking you to do is trying to explain to you that what I have done, come and enjoy. And many of us are running away from that thing. Remember the table in Psalm 23. Remember that table in Psalm 23? Can I tell you about that table? He said he laid those tables before you in the sight of who? Your enemy. Your enemies are not in heaven, so that table is not in heaven. It's on earth. It's on earth. But if you do not know, if you do not know that that table is there, you will not even go to that table. If you know that table is there and you think you are not qualified to go to that table, you say, no, I'm going to go. Do you know one thing I've seen about many believers? They kept telling me things they are not qualified to do. They kept saying this, if I wish. Oh, if I just. Do you know sometimes some people even make me laugh? They said, if I just be like Brother Wally, I know. I said, seriously. I am finding out because it's so much, it's so huge. And do you know one thing is this? God is not a respecter of any man. Can I say that again? God is not a respecter of any man. What he has done for one, he has done for the other one. You might not know it or take advantage of it, but that doesn't mean God has advantageous this person over you. No! God has made everything good for you.
Hallelujah.
I think I need to delve into this. There are three things that becomes your access when you give your life to Christ. Three things. I was listening to Deuteronomy 23 yesterday night. Please, if you have time, just read through it. It will frighten you. Deuteronomy 23. But I'm not going to read that. Almost every disease, every calamity you can think of is in there. But you can summarize those lots into those three things that you have been redeemed from. The first one is this. You have been redeemed from every funny sickness. That's the first one you have redeemed from. Any sickness you could imagine. He even added to it. He said even if it's not mentioned in this book, it means that he emphasized that there's some that will be discovered later years. He said if it's not there, it is covered. Can somebody say number one? Number one. The second part is this. You have been redeemed from any form of poverty. There was a day I was listening to a radio station. And it alarmed me when this guy defined poverty. I was shocked. He said, if you stop working today, how many days forward can you live? He said, some people cannot even live one day with what is on their neck. He said, how many days forward can you live if you stop work today? Do you know some people can live one successful year without working? With what they have in store. Some people can live 10 years with what they have in store. Where am I going with this? God has redeemed you from poverty. What God is trying to say to you is this: I am your source, not your labor. And everything that you need, that you will need, I have it in stock. I can point your direction to it. If God can feed the children of Israel, that is more than 3 million, in the wilderness without any supermarket, I think he can do a good justice on you. They said there were 3 million people that Moses was leading, and he was feeding them every day. They said their clothes started sizing them. Their shoe did not fade. Their shoe was automatically fitting their feet. There was no medical doctor there, and he was keeping them all healthy. 3 million people. I don't know of any church that they have 3 million people without any supermarket. And he kept them for 40 years. How many years?
40.
If he could keep them for 40 years in the Old Testament, you think your electric bill is what is concerning him? Or your house bill? Eh? You think that? What God is trying to say is that I love you so much. If you would just come and rest in that love that I have for you, I will show you where the wealthy place of the land is. I will show you everything you need. The first thing is this: be assured that I love you. I know what I've done in Christ. If we know. And do you know one thing is this? One of the things that I wake up to remember is this: God loves me. I said, you should say it before. Some people are saying, if I say God loves me now, I'm not sure. Maybe I could complain about it. Do you know by saying God loves you, it reassures you. By saying God loves you, it emboldens you. By saying God loves you, it starts giving you direction for life. Why? The truth of God is constantly helping you. And let me say this to you. The reason why we ask you, The reason why we encourage you to come to meetings where you can hear truth like this is this. So that the devil will not be able to cheat you out of what is your inheritance. Pastor will ask, come for Bible study. Pastor will come early morning. Why? Because the more you hear it. Bible says faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by what? And hearing by God's word. So the more you hear this truth, the more you are able to hold on to it. The more you are able to hold on, the more you are able to enjoy it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The third one. Can somebody remind me the first thing I said? We are redeemed from what?
Sickness.
Good. The second one, we are redeemed from what? The third one is that we are redeemed from spiritual death. And that's huge. The first thing that Adam and Eve lost was companionship with the Lord. He said to them, if you eat this fruit, you will die. Somebody said they didn't die that day. So what happened? I will explain it to you. If you read the commentary and the right rendition of it, he said, in dying, you will die. He said, in dying, they will die. What it means is this. When a tree, if you cut a tree from the source of a tree, the tree might still have some green leaves. But the moment it departs from the source, it starts dying. It might take some few days. Some it can take some few hours. But the life of source of life has been cut. What happened to them was that the source of life was cut. They were separated. Death, the way we look at death, I will explain it, is this. Most times when you say somebody died, our mind is always like, the person just stopped from existing. No. The body and the spirit of the person just get separated. That's what happened. The person just left his coat on earth, his happy coat, he left it and went somewhere. And you make that decision. If you make the decision of salvation on earth, it's either you go to heaven or you go to the heaven. That's the only two ways. So when somebody says spiritual death, it's separation from God. When they get separated from God, they get separated from light. For the first time, they noticed they were naked. Life! Everything that was generating in them stopped working. Now, they became victim instead of victor. They became somebody that is looking for something to cover themselves. Why? They've been deprived from life. And do you know one thing? Those three things were restored in Christ. Now, somebody would now ask me, if those things were done in Christ, how come I'm not enjoying it? Now, this is where it becomes very interesting. And I will just touch it. One. Everything that has been done in Christ is not an automatic thing that you enjoy it. Did I not say, for God so loved the world? Did Jesus Christ not die for the whole world? But is the whole heart saved? Is everybody in the heart saved? The moment you and I, by faith, accept what Jesus Christ did, we became born again, we get separated from the others. That is what the first one. So is every benefit in Christ. It has to be faith activated. You have to enjoy it by faith. That's why we are explaining it in this place now. That what we are saying to you is this. As much as possible, what God has wrought in Jesus Christ for all of us, you need by faith to access it. So your healing is accessible by faith. It is yours. I told you. As a child, you have access to everything. You are entitled to everything. But until you grow, you don't access it. Some people can help you to access it. That's why sometimes we pray along with people. We help people. We join hands with them just to access it. Why? Because it is available. Now, let me add to this. Everything God has made available for you, you need by faith to access it. God has made all the child available that you need. All the money that you need is available. All the healing that you need is available. But by faith, you will access it. Now, I will teach you something. Stop looking at yourself as a victim that needs to be helped. Start looking at yourself as a victim that is accessing everything that is available. Do you know, I never pray for myself as though I'm the sick trying to get healed. I'm constantly looking at myself as the well that the enemy is trying to put sickness on. Two different perspectives. And one perspective help better. Praise the Lord. Let me round up by saying this. God has done everything that he needed to do. Can somebody say that? God has done everything that he needed to do. Jesus Christ is not going to the cross again. He has done everything. So if he has done everything, what you need to do is to take advantage. Can somebody say take advantage?
Take advantage.
Take advantage of what he has planned. Do you know one thing about it is this? God did not only make available everything that you need. He started making available men and women that can teach you how to take advantage of it. We are people that God has put in place and said, go take advantage through them. But all those things are available to you. I want you to bow down your head. He has made all things available to you. The Bible says we are redeemed from all the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from all the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Verse 14. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come unto Gentile to Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise through faith. Everything is accessible by faith. If we look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, he said we are blessed, past tense, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything is made available to you. Bible said it in four scriptures. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, Habakkuk 2:4. He said, by faith, the just shall live. The just shall live. He said, it only pleases God when you use your faith. God is saying, I have everything. Step in by faith. The same way you step in by faith to receive your salvation. Step in by faith, take hold of your healing. Step in by faith, take hold of that job. Step in by faith, take hold of that child. Step in by faith, take hold of that husband. Step in by faith, take hold of that ministry. Step in by faith and take hold of that house. How? Somebody say how? By your mouth. By your mouth. By your mouth. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. It is what you say. It is how you say it. It is what you declare. The God said, as you have said in my hearing, so shall I do for you. So what are you saying in the hearing of God? What are you saying when nobody is there with you? What are you saying when you are there in the night by yourself alone? What are you saying when you are there with your children and your family? Are you saying the right thing? Are you saying the right thing? Dare to say it. And God will say, as you have said in my hearing, so shall I do it. Hallelujah.
I was reading a story last week of a man when he clocked 37. True life story. At the age of 37, he started looking for his parents. At the age of 37, his father came from Nigeria, to be precise, in 1954 to study in the UK. He met a Caucasian lady, they fell in love, and they gave birth to that man who clocked 37. But the parent of the girl rejected him, apparently because of the color of his skin. And they also rejected the baby. And the man, after studying, returned to Nigeria. And they put the boy in a foster home. 37 years. It dawned on him, hold on a minute. I have to start searching for my parents. He was able to reach out to his mom after searching, and the mom said, don't come to me. I don't want to go back to that season of my life. I don't want to see you. Don't come. She was that blunt and brutal. And the young man continued with his journey. Okay. Mom said I shouldn't come, let me look for my father. And they began to search. He did not even get the real name of his father. He had a faint idea that it's a Yoruba name, and he was trying to figure it. And he contacted a newspaper in Nigeria through somebody he knew here, and they started searching. Eventually got to a professional body in Nigeria because his father came to this country to study architecture. So the professional body, architecture body in Nigeria, started helping him. Well, there is a particular name that is looking like this name you mentioned. We will see what we can do to trace your father. To cut long story short, in the end, they said, well, it's looking like your father was in Ibadan, Nigeria. We think we know him. But having said that, he died in 1981 in an accident. Okay, what about my siblings? They continue searching. And the first son of the man, by the time they got through to know him, they said that one died in 2020 something. So what do I do again? What about the sisters and so on? Eventually, he got to meet other siblings as well. Why did I go through this story? Relationship is important. Because he said something earlier, that at a point in your life, you have to begin to search. Discover yourself. Who am I? Who is my father? Or who is God? And you don't have to labor too much, because Jesus has already shown us the way to the Father. My father and my mother may forsake me, but God said, I will not do that. Maybe you are here today. You yet to know your father. I'm not talking about your biological father now, but our heavenly father. From everlasting to everlasting, the everlasting father. Maybe you are here today. You are still searching. Because sometimes coming to church is nothing. There are many unbelievers in church. can be in church 10, 15 years and not born again? How many of you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. A friend of ours many years ago was recruited by Benny Hinn, who came to London to do a crusade. And she volunteered to be one of the horses. He said the first night of the crusade in London, she was ushering, gently, quietly doing the ushering business. And then altar call was made. He said something hit her and she fell on the floor, boom, like that. And they rushed her to the front of Benny Hinn. And she said, I want to give my life now. Meanwhile, she's been in church for years. For years. That encounter is what is important. And all of us should be able to say, even if you're struggling to remember the date, the exact day, you should be able to say, this is the month. And if you are struggling with the month, you should be able to say, this is the year. If you can't say this is the year, then something is missing somewhere. Then we need to start asking you, are you an alien? So leveraging on the message we have heard from our pastor, because it's purely a message of salvation, it's a message of the love of God for all of us. And that message personally ministered to me. Because sometimes, you know, as Christians, you also ask this question. Let's face it. God, do you really love me? Let's face it. If you truly love me, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? Even if you're not asking yourself that question, somebody will look at you. So you call yourself a Christian, look at your life. And that alone, you can begin to doubt. But today's message reinforced the fact that we are loved by Him. And that is the takeaway, as far as I'm concerned, for us today. That we are loved by Him. Irrespective of what you're going through. Because what is going through is not an indication that you are not loved by Him. It's not. If somebody is coming to you and say you're going through what you're going through because you are a sinner, say sinner, ask them how. Haven't you heard that before? Now we know it's a sinner. We've always thought about it. When Paul reached that island called Malta, a snake, a viper showed up. You remember, Pastor? But again, God showed, this is my man. So maybe you are here this morning, whether you are young or old, and you want to key into the message we've heard through this man of God. With all eyes closed, please. Let me see you raise your right hand. The Father is not far away. He's just nearby. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's not far away. You don't have to go to Nigeria. You don't have to go to Ibadan. You don't have to go to Owerri. You don't have to go to Kano. You don't have to go to Manchester. He is right here with us. You don't have to do a long search. He's right here. So if you're raising your hand, please raise it properly. When it comes to things like this, nobody's forced. It's a decision. It's a choice. I made that choice, that decision many years ago, like Pastor Wally also. So if you're lifting that hand, please lift it properly. It doesn't matter whether you're young or you're old. Hallelujah. In the absence of none. Let's put our hands together for everyone in this room. That the person sitting next to you is a brother. The person sitting next to you is a sister. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And Pastor, I pray for you. As you have watered, in the name of Jesus, you too shall be watered.
Amen.
The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. As you have sharpened us, may heaven sharpen you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare double grace, triple grace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every word you have spoken in the name of Jesus will not be used against you.
Amen.
It will work for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit,
thank you, Father,
for using this vessel. Replenish him and empower him even the more.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Come on, jam your hands, put your hands together, and let's celebrate the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
We have prayed.
Amen.
We're going to be closing very soon. Hallelujah. But before we close, I quickly want to do something. Hallelujah. And I think I'm going to, let me see who I can. Sister Fumi, come. Sister Fumi, come. And when you're coming, smile. I want to see that smile. You look really good when you smile, you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, face your face and smile. I want you to do something for me. All right? Look around the room, and I want you, possibly the name in full, three persons that just possibly joined this church, their full name, she said Chai, hallelujah, that's just joined, all right, you know, and so on, three persons, mention their name for me, I want it in full. Let's start with that. Okay, try it however you want to try it. But don't misspell it. Okay, say loud and clear. Can I have the mic, please? Yeah, on the spot. Come on. Sister Folake, right? Okay,
yeah.
Go on.
Sister
Efe. Sister Efe. See, you are not even sure.
Sister Efe.
Efe, okay, all right, yes.
Sister Stella.
Sister Stella. Okay, come on, let's clap for her. She tried. So, you can go back. Thank you. So, who can do it full? Full name. Full name. Okay, Sister Efe, since your name was mentioned, come. I know you are bold. Come over. Sister Efe, because it works both ways, you know. So you should also be able to tell me at least three people that you know since you joined, you know, their names, in full. Okay, let's try.
I know Sister Fola Kemi, I don't know the other name.
Which one is Fola Kemi?
She's
Fola Kemi. Okay, the Kemi is what I don't know, but I know she's Fola Kemi. Okay, all right.
Then, my husband.
Oh, come on. Say that your husband.
Yes,
No.
Right, short. I know the three full names.
That is being clever by half, isn't it?
Then, Madame Odibo.
Who is Madame Odibo?
Yeah, that's my sister from Okwara.
Now you are
from my village.
No. I think you are doing a joro here.
She's a new member, sir.
I think you are doing a joro here. Existing member.
Existing member.
Not your husband.
Not new ones.
Existing that you met.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Mrs. Exe Adeshida.
Okay. That's your sister?
I met her, she brought me to my house.
Okay, two more.
Okay.
Come on, go on.
Mr. Samsi Adeshida. Okay, yeah. Pastor Wale.
Okay, because he preached today and I mentioned his name. It's all right. Let's clap for her. Now, the reason I'm doing this is this. Church is family. All right? Church is family. I've heard people say something like, and they're not wrong. I didn't come to church because of people, though. I came to church because of God. You are right. But it's more than that. It's absolutely more than that. You also come because of me. I also come because of you. The day I don't see you, do I have any business in this place? I don't have any business. But the truth of the matter is, I will always see you anyway. So the truth of the matter is, we need one another. And it's not just Sunday. I do, like I always say, do church. I pastor every day. Every day. I give access. I call. I receive calls. Am I communicating?
Yes, ma'am.
So before you leave this place today, and please don't give me that attitude, I'm not a relational person. Who is a relational person? Me? I also grew into it. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm sociable, yes, I know I can, you know. But sometimes you don't feel like. You are compelled to. So I've had people say, I'm not a relational person, pastor. I say, come on, come off that. Jesus didn't have to come, but he came. He came. And let's go back to the message we had today, love. Somebody say love.
Love.
So we're not just loving God. It's not just loving us. We're also loving one another. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you are not my disciple. You can't be called my disciple if you don't love one another. So before you leave today, at least one person, whether young teenager, young adult, elder, she's our elder. She's also there. Pastor is also there. She's also our elder. At least one person. Talk to them before you leave this place. And I've said it to our existing members, those that have been around for years. When the service is over, it's not the time that you are still speaking to somebody you've been speaking for over 5 years. Look for somebody who is new and chat with them. Praise the Lord. Exchange telephone numbers. But however, when you exchange telephone numbers, behave yourself. Behave yourself. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to close right now, and then make sure you speak to at least one person. Not the usual person you speak to after service in church and so on, but someone who is new. Sister, can I know how far, what's happening, and so on. Glory be to God. Life is fun. Somebody say life is fun.
Life is fun.
Some of us, we look too serious. And I'm not speaking to Sister Ayo. You look too serious. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So let's chat and so on. I think after the service last week Sunday, Brother G, because we're asking him to do something, and was having a go at my wife, you know. And then in the end, My wife said, you have a go at me, I'm also have a go at you. You know, et cetera, et cetera. Praise the Lord. Life is fun. We don't have to be too serious every time. Praise the Lord. Have to be too serious every time. And by God's grace, in April, one of the Sundays, we're going to be laying emphasis on relationship, how we can do relationship. Because that will also have impact on the way we live our life and, you know, and so on. All right, so let's rise up this morning, this afternoon. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together and celebrate this month. Thank you, Pastor. Love you, son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and honor. Ask God for one thing. Ask Him for one thing. Ask Him for one thing. Commit this week into His hand. Remember that lyrics, that song? It has come to pass. In the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. Amen. Please, tomorrow morning, between 6 and 7. It costs you nothing. Some of you, the data you have is massive to join. You have Wi-Fi, you have broadband, unlimited. 1 hour. Praise the Lord. Come and be blessed. Take advantage of what we are offering to God. Amen. Between 6 and 7 tomorrow morning, we have Pastor Tomi Dorojai joining us all the way from Nigeria to bless us, to minister to us. Amen. Invite your friends as well. Send the links to them and ask them to join. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. And quickly to recap, if you know an estate agent within our community, please speak to me after the service. It's important. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and honor for everyone today. I thank you that when we ask, you always hear us and answer us. We thank you for your plans for our life, your purposes for our lives. We give you praise and honor. Lord, also, as we do relationships, prosper our relationships.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let great things come out of our relationships.
Amen.
Come out from our relationship with you.
Amen.
And our relationship with one another. And our relationship with each other.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As we go into this, we go with us.
Amen.
Go ahead of us.
Amen.
Make every crooked path straight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we commit tomorrow's meeting into your hands, 6 to 7. Father, be there before we arrive.
Amen.
And bless us thoroughly.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Before we share the praise, don't forget, I'm going to be watching you and your class monitor. Don't run away after the service. Make sure you speak to somebody. Hallelujah. Extend numbers if you can. Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Love you guys. God bless you. Fire! Fire!